And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland. I'm your host. I've been around for 25 years helping folks with life issues and relationship issues, and today I'm going to help some folks with some answers to questions. Received an email from a gentleman who says that he suddenly doesn't have any motivation. He can hardly bring himself to do anything. He has a family, I think a wife and kids, I think. And he can hardly function. He just doesn't have any motivation. He feels meaninglessness and listlessness. I know I'm not describing it very well. He did a better job in his email, but I think you got the idea. And I said to him in my response, I said, you know, sooner or later, every thoughtful, sincere person reaches a point in their life when they realize they're not living their own life. See, for some of us it happens earlier than for some of us later. But we realize that everything we've done has been based upon what other people had us to do. Our parents, our teachers, our bosses, our ministers, our leaders, our peer group, our friends. We did everything that they told us to do, or we rebelled against it. And so the work we did, the job we took, everything was all had to do with what they said. See? And we conformed to what they said, or we rebelled. And the other reason why we did things was to please other people. Most of us are people pleasers. People pleasers. And we're afraid of criticism, and we're afraid to rock the boat, and so we just go along to get along, and we try to please other people. And so our whole life is externally motivated. Everything you've done, everything you think, everything you've said. See, you haven't lived your own life. That's a very sober realization. A nice lady, Anne Morrow Lindbergh, wrote a book called A Gift from the Sea. A Gift from the Sea, a famous spiritual classic. But she had to go off to be by herself for a while to sort things out. Now, the other way this crops up is people sometimes, they say, why do I feel totally drained when I come back from work? See, they come back home from work and they're totally drained. Well, obviously, there could be physical reasons. You have to check with your doctor. Or the environment could be just too stressful there for some reason. But the other reason is that we're totally externally motivated. React, react, react. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Most workplaces have a lot of pressure. So we're under pressure. See? So your whole life, when you were a kid, you were pressured to succeed, pressured to get good grades, pressured to study, and then pressured to succeed in sports, and peer group pressured you to be popular, and see? And pressure to get a job, and all kinds of pressures. So you've responded to the pressure. You've never found your own way. You know, Henry David Thoreau talked about marching to your own drummer. See, those used to be well-read things, Henry David Thoreau or Ralph Waldo Emerson. Those were great people in American literature. They talked about independence. That was what America was all about. It was about freedom and independence and discovery. See? But now we all feel kind of beaten down and going through the motions and see how that works? All right, so what do you need to do? Well, you need, okay, first of all, and the other thing is resentment. Resentment is a big part of feeling listless and not knowing which way to turn, not knowing which path to take, or not even having the motivation to go to work. I once read of a man that went to work every day for 20 years. Every day. He went to the office every day for 20 years, and all of a sudden one day he couldn't get in the elevator. He just couldn't get in. He couldn't take another step. See? And then there's something called burnout. People burn out from years and years of being under pressure. So let's talk about that soon as I come back from this very important announcement. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting. Hello, this is Roland. I've covered a lot of ground. You'll have to fit it to your circumstance. You know, we all have different situations and life experience, but you'll have to see how it fits in your particular situation. Some of the things I've thrown out. See, I've thrown out a lot of things. You might have to listen to this recording again. So we have different. So first of all, there's the fact that we've been pressured, which was unnecessary. See, people like Einstein, he was a great genius, Albert Einstein, in spite of school. See, he didn't even like school, and they were cruel to him in school. He didn't like school, he didn't do well in school, he hated school. But he went his own way, he found his own path, he made his discoveries in spite of school. Okay? So you have to become the same way. You've been overly motivated, overly pressured. See, you've been pressured by seduction and rewards and bribes and punishments and your whole life. Like a trained seal, everybody just pressured you and pressured you. And you responded either with conformity or rebellion. Most of us conform. See, we become, I'm sorry to say this, but we become characterless conformists. Others rebel. See? Why do you think that there's so many gang members, and the prisons are overflowing, and people are on drugs and alcoholics and everything? Because they've been pressured. It's the very pressure to succeed that drives them to failure, see? And some people fail, and then they rebel against failure, and then they try to become a success, but they become a success out of resentment, and so they're still not happy with what they get, you see? Some people conform, but then secretly rebel. You know, they act nice to your face, but then they go off and take drugs or something. You see what I mean? So you just have to see that that's the pressure cooker that you've been raised in. Religious pressure, school pressure, athletic pressure, drug pressure, peer pressure. See? Pressure, pressure, pressure. So now you must learn how to function from within. That's why you might very well need to get my meditation. In fact, you should get one of my meditations. I have some free ones, actually. And the ones that aren't free, you can listen to the first part for free. It may be all you need. You need to get centered, become quiet, get in touch with your intuition. See, your true path, your true life, and the sense of joy and understanding about things, and discovery, and you know your talents and inclinations. They all unfold from within. See. So you have to refine them. So you have to get back in touch with your intuition. That's what my meditation is for. Get out of thinking. Get back in touch with your intuition. Then go out in the world and then see how pressured you have been and how you have reacted. See how your body and everything has been shaped by reacting to pressure. It's not good for you. Suddenly big health problems can suddenly crop up from people who react to pressure. See? So, meditation is very important. The other thing you have to watch out for is resentment. See, resentment also cuts you off from your inner ground of good. It cuts you off from your inner fount of life, actually. See, life comes from with, it comes from God and it comes from within. See, we have a soul. We're part earth and part physical, part heaven and part earth. We have a soul in a body. We're a soul in a body. You are not your body. You are your soul, your consciousness in a body. See? And so you need to find the love and support for your soul. You're not going to find it out in the world. People, maybe people are nice to you. Okay, they're nice. But you need something different. You need your parent spirit. You need God, the maker of you, the maker of your soul. He's the one that understands you, see? But you've gotten all messed up. You've gotten all messed up and entangled in things and blocked. And people did it to you. People on the outside, they did it to you with their pressure tactics and their manipulations and so forth. But they didn't know any better. See, so you must forgive them, beginning with your mom and who was unloved herself, I'm sure. And your father, your failing father. See, forgive him, for he didn't know what he did. He wasn't there for you. So you have to forgive them and forgive everyone else. They're also lost sheep. Nobody had love for them. All they knew was pressure. That's the only thing that they knew. So they turned around and pressured you and said it was for your own good. Okay, so you absolutely have to find your own center of dignity so you can flow, begin to flow from it. See, and then live each day, see, intuitively. You might have to take a little time. I don't want to say take time off necessarily, although you might if you're in a pressure cooker. You might need to take a little time off. But at least a time to reflect, to sit back calmly and reflectively and just not get so upset and bothered and troubled by everything. Just let it go. Don't try to make anything happen. Don't try to succeed. Don't say today's the day I'm going to find that job or whatever. Don't try to straighten your kids out. Don't try to make anything work. Just step back. Do the meditation and observe, okay? Begin to live each day on a moment-to-moment intuitive basis, okay? And then some things will come off the assembly line from years and years of stressed existence, and you'll observe them, and they'll dissolve them away or deal with them somehow, and you'll slowly and surely you'll get better, okay? I'll be right back. Freedom, ladies and gentlemen, is such a beautiful thing. That's what America stood for, you know. And we still have some of it left. We haven't thrown it all away. I used to like watching Route 66, 77 Sunset Strip, and I used to enjoy watching, especially Route 66. A couple of guys got in a car, convertible, and took off across the country. Freedom, freedom, freedom. At that time, I was like, I was like a teenager living at home, and my mom was on my case every day. She started taking some kind of psychotropic meds. I don't know what she took, Meloril and Valium and stuff. She became a monster. And she and my stepdad were fighting all the time, and she was just constantly picking on me over every little thing and just making my life into a living hell, basically, is what it boiled down to. So I sat there as a teenager dreaming of California and dreaming of freedom, okay? Well, all right, so where are you now? Maybe you're 20-something, 30-something, 40-something, and you maybe have a job, maybe you don't. Let's say you have a job. Maybe it's not a perfect job, okay? It's not a perfect job, but it's a job. Okay, so here's what to do. If they're not asking you to do anything wrong, and it's a fairly decent job, then don't say, well, I'm going to quit. Don't do that. Don't become resentful. See, usually that's out of resentment anyway. So the first thing to do, get the meditation, learn to become centered. Practice becoming centered. Okay? And go to work, see, and watch for resentment. Watch for all the resentments. It could be that you find yourself without motivation. Could be because of the resentment. See, that could be it. Or it could be you're too reactive to other people. You're trying too hard to please other people, or you're resenting them secretly, and then bending over backwards to be extra nice and doing things because to make up for the guilt. You see all that? So you can see all that. You'll be able to see it once you start meditating, become objective. All right, you got the idea. Okay. And you'll begin to find your own way. You'll have a sense of freedom, a sense of joy, because the things you do will be inwardly motivated, and they'll be in accord with God's will for your existence. And you'll be a good example to others, and you won't be so resentful, and life will be sweet, okay? All right. Now, I want to answer another question. A man said that his mother passed away 3 or 4 years ago. He was her primary caretaker. And he said he still has grief, and he has a lot of feelings of guilt. Guilt saying that he feels like he wasn't as good a caretaker as he could have been, and other, he didn't elaborate, but feelings of guilt. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because it's a question that I get a lot. Now, let's separate out the two different feelings. The first feeling is grief, okay? Now, if it's someone that was near and dear to you, especially if they were a nice person, see, a truly nice person, then you feel grief. So you're going to feel some grief, a little bit of grief, over their loss, over their passing away, a sense of loss, okay? Okay, so just feel the grief. Feel the grief. It's a process that we go through, okay? You'll go through it. There's also a sense of saying goodbye to one thing and saying hello to another. I feel a little sense of grief if when things are changing, if I'm leaving and going to another town, or I'm leaving one job for another, or moving on, selling one car and maybe buying another. There's a sense, first of all, sense of a change, and also little subtle. Subtle guilts arise, see? Little subtle guilts, and that's why it's very good to meditate, so you can be objective again. You can look at these things objectively, okay? Little guilts arise if I sell one car and get another one, see? Did I really need to sell the car? Could I have kept it? It was a good car, okay? Did I sell the car because I was angry at it? Or did I buy the other car because it was a flashier car? A more exciting car, a prettier car, see? And so I abandoned the plain old car. See what I mean? All right, well, if that's the case, then I just have to look at it, bear a little bit of pain for seeing my own errors, my own weakness. See my own errors. Okay, so there's that. So when somebody passes away, first things, there's some grief, okay? But gradually, the grief, the natural grief, will begin to fade away. Okay, now let's take a look at why we would feel guilty. Okay, I already said even just selling a car and buying a new one, or leaving one job and going to another job, even though it's nice to go to another job. Well, you know, that's why it's good. It's very important to do things for a proper motivation, because if you leave a job out of resentment, and you say, I'll show them, they're not paying me as much as I'm worth, so I'll show them. See, now it may be okay to leave the job and go to another job that's a better job or that pays better. That may be perfectly fine, but just watch out for the resentment. Okay? So then you can leave the job, and then you can feel okay about the new one. So when somebody passes away, let's talk about guilt now, the bigger guilts. Welcome back. We're talking about guilt when somebody passes. So here we go. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to cover things very quickly. You might have to listen to this program again, or get some of my books, or get my meditation, or just hear what I have to say, and then just you can thoughtfully, as the days go by, say, oh, I see. Maybe listening to this recording again. The other thing you have to watch out for is false guilt. Okay, well, let's first talk about the real guilt. This is important. I want to make sure I cover this before I run out of time. Real guilt. See, a lot of times, okay, there's two sources. Number one, when the person was around, you resented the person. When I say you, I'm talking to people in general. You resented the person, okay, for whatever reason, for their weaknesses, for their meannesses, for their pettiness, for their demands. Especially sick people can be very demanding. People, when they're dying, they can be very, very demanding, or when they're sick. And we resent, see, their demands. Or we resent that taking care of them, we're missing out on other things in life. Okay, taking care of them, we give them our life. See, a lot of people give their life to somebody, which we shouldn't do. It's all right to help another person. It's all right to help a person, but you mustn't give them your life. See, it's not your life to give. God gave you life. He gave them life. Okay? You mustn't try to save another person or give them your life. See? Some sick people can actually take life force. See, if you're a particularly giving person, they can actually, by being around them, see, they can be, by being around you, they can actually take your life force from you. Okay? But now look, if a person is sick, a lot of times there are reasons for it. Okay? Just remember, it's their life, not yours. We each have our own totem pole. We each have our own existence. We have our own life. You're not responsible for their salvation. You can't save another person. Okay? They have to find a relationship with their maker. And if what has befallen them has something to do with the lifestyle that they led or the lack of awareness that they had, see, well, then that's for them to discover. You mustn't try to save people from consequences of their existence. See, if you do, you're interfering with their possibly finding God. See, so mostly it's only through suffering. I know this is a hard teaching, but it's only through suffering that people will eventually cry out for true answers. When everything is nice and they're healthy and everything's fine, then they don't cry out for answers. They begin seeking and searching sincerely when they suffer, okay? So you can't save another person. But if they were around and you resented them for any reason, then you're going to feel guilty after they're gone, okay? So just observe, just see that. See that you resented them, okay? And let it go, okay? Let it go. It's a little bit painful. See that you resented them. Let it go, see? And then forgive yourself, and then don't resent yourself for seeing that you had been resentful, that's all. Now, there's one more very, very, very important topic that we have to discuss, and that is false guilt. Now, we do experience real guilt very often, and the reason is because of resentment. Resentment, suppressed hostility. We resented the people when they were around for various reasons, and now we feel guilty over it. Okay, that's honest guilt. Sometimes we resent the person because they passed away. Sometimes we actually resent the person for passing away, because now that they've passed away, we're left with guilt for having resented them, you see, and for not having, not having been patient always, not always having been kind, or not always being honest. You see what I mean? For whatever reason, we have the guilt, and now they're gone, and we can't make it right with them anymore, or make up. See, our ego always wants to make up. Cover things up and make up and then have them say everything's fine. See what that means? So now we're left with the burden. We take back our honest guilt. We take it back. We can't lay it on anybody else. We can't blame them anymore either. We can't blame them. See, we used to blame them sometimes. We blamed them for this and blamed them for that. And then we served them out of guilt. You know, we hated our mom because she nagged us and screamed at us when we were kids. And we hated her. But then she got sick, and so we had to take care of her. And so we took care of her, but out of guilt, see? But we didn't, you see what I mean? So now she's gone, so now you have the burden, your own guilt back on you, which is good, because that's where it belongs. Now you can make things right with God, see? By just no longer being resentful and hateful and being sorry over what you see, but your own past angers and hatreds and hostilities and so forth, okay? All right, so... See, sometimes we get angry at God too. We blame God. Why this and why that? See, it's another way of casting, of not having to look at our own wrong. Whatever it is, big or little, acts of commission or acts of omission. See what I mean? All right. So there you have it. A lot of families, there's no love. See, people do everything out of guilt, We're resenting each other, see? So there's that. But now I want to talk about false guilt. So you see now there is a real guilt, real guilts, and therefore most of the time they're for resentment. That's what they're for. They're for resentment. Okay? But what our ego does is it misinterprets the meaning of the guilt. Okay? We misinterpret the guilt, which is really for the resentment. See, we misinterpret it as being for not having been nice enough to the other person, not having done enough for them, not having cared enough. See what I mean? We misinterpret the meaning of the guilt as for not having been good enough or nice enough. See, that's typical ego, typical ego. But now what you have to see is that you're misinterpreting it. Real reason for the guilt, which, see, if you start to meditate, so you can become objective, and then you can look at it objectively, and then you can see what the guilt is for, or having resented another person or whatever. See, instead of misinterpreting it, which is what our ego tends to do, see, it's for your not having been good enough or nice enough or caring enough. See how that works? All right, so there's misinterpreted guilt. So there is often real guilt for the resentment, okay? It's for most of the time it's for having resented, for having hated, see, for having judged the other person. See what I mean? And then we resent having to see our own wrong, our own failing. We resent them for being gone, so now we're left with our own guilt. We can't blame anybody anymore, see? All right. So now you've got the idea. All right, well, I've covered the ground very quickly, so you might have to listen to this again, see how it fits your situation. I've just thrown out some generalities. And please listen again next week to this program, and be sure to listen to this one again from our audio archives. I also have some excellent books on relationships, and my meditations are. Meditation is what's really the best thing that I have going. That's really what would be good for you, if you could practice the meditation. My name is Roland. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener supported. Thank you.